Welcome to Good Hope Church with Pastor Billy Bryson. We praise God for every listener and ask that you like, follow, and rate this podcast so we can reach more people for the kingdom. I pray for open hearts, open ears, and the blood of Jesus to cover everyone that hears my voice. Now let's get into the Word. Amen.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Today is a great day to be in the body of Christ. Because outside of the body of Christ, there's confusion, there's trouble, there's hardship, there's despair. But inside the body of Christ, you have all hope in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave that you might have victory in every area of your lives. And what we're doing here is we're teaching part two of one of the categories of sin in Revelations 21 and 8. We're talking about what? What are we talking about? All liars, right? Let's take a look at Revelations 21 and 8. Praise the Lord. And if some of you need material, we will definitely get that to you. I want you to be accountable for what you hear. I want you to be responsible for what you receive. I want you to have the victory in every area of your life. Revelations 21 and 8. Praise the Lord. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, the Word of God is very explicit about what He's saying. He gets right to the point. But we as a people that are driven by our passions and driven by our worldly ideas and ideas that we think that we've got God figured out. But the Word of God is pretty plain. The Bible says that we shouldn't add to the Word or take away from the Word, but to receive the Word, the engrafted Word, whereby it's able to save even our souls. How many of you want to enter into heaven with full rewards? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see everybody in heaven with full rewards. A hundredfold return throughout eternity. You might not get the position in the natural on this side, have all the wealth that you might desire, but your emphasis is not on this life. Colossians chapter 3, and it says that we should set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. And that's the problem. Many times we're discouraged because we see the world moving on, as it were. A lot of boats and a lot of people out fishing and cutting grass, and a lot of people doing a lot of things today that don't support eternal life. It doesn't support it, you know. And everybody's going to be judged by the things that they know and the things that God has been speaking to their conscience about doing. But the Scriptures teach that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Not just some, but it says all. It's like all the promises of God are available to you and to me. But He said that all liars shall have their part there. You see, in order to lie, we noted last week, we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. They have been left on record with great warning for us, the church. Acts chapter 5. We'll just touch on that lightly this morning. But they were noted on record. The Bible says that these types of situations were written for our learning. I'm learning something from them. Help me, Holy Spirit of God. I want to learn from them. I want to be sensitive to what they did right and what they did wrong. Because I don't want to miss the mark like they did. They went to hell, by the way. They did. Throughout eternity. And I hope to scare the hell out of a lot of you today.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, I'm very cautious, trying to be sensitive. I don't want to... I'm teaching R-rated, or however you want to put it. Sometimes we try to shelter the ears of the children. But it's time we scare the hell out of everybody. Because if you don't cooperate with God, you're going to fall into one of those eight categories. You know, the Bible said it would be better never to have known the ways of the Lord than to know it and to turn from it. You know, the Bible says that the last days will be a great falling away. And I believe it's because of deception that comes from behind the pulpit. The Bible says that in the book of James that be not many teachers or many masters, for they shall receive a weightier or a stricter judgment. I don't want to mislead you. I'd rather you go home and you think, man, he got it hot in there today. He was talking right to me. And I'd rather it trouble your soul that is like fire every time I speak. Because I don't want you to miss heaven. I don't want you to miss heaven. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It's very narrow. And the more you learn and the more you grow, you thank God for His grace. His mercy. Because it's very straight. And it said, the Bible says if the righteous, those that have been washed in the blood, scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Well, we know where they're going. They're going to hell. They're going to hell. And I'm alarmed. I'm troubled in my spirit. That's a good thing. With all consciousness, I want to obey the Lord. And there's trouble coming upon this land. There's a prophetic utterance that's going to be mentioned. It's going to continue to come in waves about the church better get ready. You better get ready because the Lord's coming. You better get ready. You better save yourself. You better have your mind made up that you're going to be consecrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're not going to allow anybody to or anything to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing present nor things to come. No height or depth, no good times, no low times. Nothing should separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Many will be separated. And it's because they've opened their heart up to deception. To deception. Familiar spirits. Similar to the truth. There's always a counterfeit. We'll teach that later on. Everything the Lord had, the devil tried to counter. Everything. Mimic everything. So we know that we've got to prepare ourselves every day to obey the Lord. You see, there's nothing better than to have a pure conscience. Nothing better. You don't have to know a lot of scriptures. You just need to obey your conscience. And if the Bible says, it says in Romans 2:15-6, if your conscience condemn you, or either excuse you or it'll accuse you of something wrong. And that's why we open the altars of the church up. That's why we're not taking communion. There's no need in taking communion. This is a time of purging, pruning, as it were. So you can really grow. Hallelujah. When we get through with this series, you're going to be able to help somebody. Somebody's going to come up to you with an issue and you're going to say, hey, I can really help this person because I've got an understanding of the Word of God. The Bible declares that the gospel of Jesus Christ will set you free if you continue in the Word. If you study to show yourself approved unto God, it will set you free. Any stronghold, any condition of heart, of longing that's not appropriate to God, God can set you free. He can heal you. He can deliver you. And this is a city that needs much deliverance. People walk in the streets. They're on crack. They're on all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what they're on anymore. They're on all kinds of stuff. They need deliverance. And God's going to send them here. Why? Because I want Him to.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to let this word be proven.
Yes.
That any man can be set free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 6 and 17. Any man can be set free through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You can be blessed. You can be blessed completely in your life by this word. He can satisfy you. I had a man that he's been struggling and struggling and struggling. I told him, I said, you just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward in the Lord. Your breakthrough's coming. Your breakthrough's coming. He come back a few weeks whining. It's coming. Your breakthrough's coming. It's like rain. I hear it. It's coming. It's coming. He called me yesterday afternoon. And he said he had a need, it was a financial need, some work that needed to be done and stuff, and it was over $5,000. Well, it's going to work out. It's only going to be about $500. And he said, all I could do was cry. I said, well, just thank the Lord, because the Lord will make a way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody the Lord will make a way. Hallelujah. He's got His people in mind. He wants to bless His people according to this word. And we noted that the BP, or I guess that's how you call it, the oil spill that's in the Gulf. You see, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that so shall he also reap. I'm not so sure that they were all honest in how they affected you and I with these gas prices a year or so ago. But now it's going to cost them billions. Billions. God will not be mocked. He means what He says. Some of y'all cold in here? Some of y'all cold? Okay. I see some of them folded up this morning. I hope they ain't folded up at me, so. But that's all right. I'll keep preaching. You see, there is a famine coming on the land. There's trouble coming. God's allowing the water to be contaminated. There's things that are going to happen that are going to affect the average person. A lot of things, a lot of trouble's coming. And God wants us to be warned about it. He wants us to be in prayer about it. Because there's so much trouble coming on the land because men choose deception rather than truth. And God says, okay. And He's talking about the church, by the way. They've chosen deception and tickling ears and false doctrine rather than truth. And God says, I'm going to have to bring them down a few notches. I'm going to have to allow them to be persecuted. I'm going to have to allow them to go through things. I'm going to have to allow affliction to come so they'll cry out unto Me. You see, deception starts when a person begins to defy their conscience. And we discussed last week the reason why the Bible says in Matthew, it talks about those that were praying, standing on the street corner, that they may be seen of men. To be seen of men means to illumine, to shine. Hypocrites. Hypocrisy is based on wanting to shine. Why would you have to lie to anybody unless you wanted to be something you're not? Lying is a serious thing with God because you have to first defy your conscience. And your conscience is the mind of the Spirit of God. You see, if you'll obey your conscience, most of the time you won't have any problem with sin. Most of the time. But we've noted in Scripture that many can have a defiled conscience. Some can have a seared conscience. And some children can be raised up in homes where they've been, from early on, they've had to defy their conscience because their parents were defying their conscience. Smoking dope right around the midst of children and all kinds of pornography, all kinds of adulterous situations in front of the children. And the children know it's wrong. So the children can be overcome, and all of a sudden, these children have learned at an early age to have a defiled conscience. They just think it's the way it ought to be. Why does a child lie? A lot of times, it's because of rejection. They want acceptance. You know, you can't believe a little 4 or 5 year old kid will come up and tell you a lie, and you know it's a lie. They don't want to be rejected. Now, we'll teach an in-depth study on rejection, cause, and cure later on, but we'll teach some on rejection. But we note that children even lie. Scripture says they come out of the womb lying because they received that spirit from birth. A lying spirit. Let's look at your sheet here. We got the sheet. Everyone have a sheet called liars. Now we know that the lust or the desire there can't be crucified. It can only be directed. Everybody has a desire of self-image. Now that's, if you're on the cross, God wants you to have proper self-esteem, every one of you. He wants every one of you to see yourself the way He sees you. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28 sometime. He wants you to believe that you're the head and not the tail. Above only and never beneath. And everything. Not to be haughty, not to be arrogant, but to be somebody. That whatever you put your hand to, you'll be blessed. Because you've got the right heart and the right spirit. I mean, you can change careers late in life. God don't care. He don't mind. I said, He don't mind. God would allow you to do what you want to do from your heart because He put the very desire in your heart. Glory to God. It's amazing how, you know, of a truth, some people can make a living at something other people think, how in the world can they make a living at that? Their heart's in it. With honest, true integrity, you can make a living at anything. So don't put yourself in a box. Don't let the devil corner you to think that you got to do something you don't want to do. You can change jobs. You can change careers. Somebody needs to hear this. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Change is coming to some of you whether you want it or not. Because God wants you in a different state of heart and mind. I'm going to flow with the Lord this morning. My wife, we knew as soon as I left home, I left my little computer. Oh, boy. And mainly that computer is so I can give you the address. I like to tell the devil where to go and where to get off at. But I don't have to do that. I can just quote it, you know, most of the time. But it's important to flow with God. And I hope you have ears to hear today. God wants to speak to you. You don't have to be deceived in any area of your life. If your heart wants you to do some things that you've been pondering and anticipating for a long time, God wants to honor those that walk in faith. For without faith, you can't please God. Come on and say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm walking in faith. All the way.
Always.
Hallelujah. Let's get back to our notes. Love of self-image. Now, we know that Ananias and Sapphira, they held back part of the price of the land when it was in their power to give it. They wanted to illumine, to shine. They didn't want to be considered as being less generous. You know, God knew where they were at. But they tried to deceive Peter, they thought. But they wasn't just deceiving Peter. Peter discerned that they were what they'd done, that offering was unto God. I want you to be careful and pay special attention to this. When you give, you tell God exactly what you're giving. God, this is what I'm giving. And this is where I'm at. He'll meet you where you're at. Yeah. Tithe is 10%. If you can only give 4%, tell God, this is where I'm at, and I'm going to honor you with this, Lord. Meet me where I'm at. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, God will meet you where you're at. There's no law that says that God's going to come down and strike you dead. Stay out of the law. Stay in grace. He'll meet you right where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had somebody the other day try to put me under condemnation about something. Lord, I says, it ain't going to happen. I tell you what happened. I fired a guy who worked for me. And where am I going to find a job? That's not my problem. And I took him his check. Well, he had his kid out there, and he really tried to make me feel bad. It ain't going to happen. He shouldn't have come against me. And one man told him, he says, if you can't work for him, as patient and long-suffering as he is, you ain't, I don't know who you going to work for. Because I put up with something. I took my time. I prayed about it. I endured hardness with that man. But the Lord says, time to cut him loose and explain to him why. Tell him the error of his way. Expose the truth to him. Let him see the truth so it'll set him free. So the next job he'll have a chance if he'll hear it and receive it. Let's get back to our notes here. Love of self-image. Sapphira and them wanted self-image. Now Peter asked Sapphira, tell me whether or not you sold the price of the land for this much. Yea, for so much we sold it for. Trying to fit in, right? Wanting acceptance, approval. And it cost her soul. She lied. She tried to deceive the spirit of truth. Peter told her, he said, the very ones that took up your husband's feet are going to take up you. And she fell down dead and gave up the ghost. That was God. Somebody said, boy, that was a tough God, wasn't it? He meant business. He wasn't playing. This act of deception is going to change in the house of God. And the Bible says that great fear came upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But great grace was upon them all. Unmerited favor. The more fear you walk in, the more grace you'll obtain of God. Hallelujah, somebody. The more fear, the more you choose to be quick to the promptings of the Holy Ghost and obey the Lord, the more grace shall engulf you. More unmerited favor. The Lord spoke to me in a dream, and in the dream last night, or the night before, he spoke to me in a dream concerning one of my godsons. And it was a dream that I had, and the dream showed me that this is the second time this has happened with him. I need to warn him. I haven't contacted him in a little while, and the Lord just kept speaking to my heart all day long. You know, I'm busy. I got this, that, and the other to do. And before I knew it, the Lord says, you get a hold of him. Warn him. It was 11 o'clock last night. Before I got through, the Lord said, don't let it rest. Get a hold of it. If you obey God in the small things, he'll give you great things. Amen. Right? If you adhere to his word in small issues, he'll speak to you something deep. He'll reveal you the secrets of people's hearts. And tell them how, and he'll give you the wisdom to teach them how to be blessed. He'll give you a word of knowledge. He'll give you a word of wisdom to help them get out of their situation. And he'll give you a prophetic word to show them where they're heading. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So if you will not defy your conscience, you will have truth. Say, I ain't defying my conscience anymore. If you will choose to do that, you'll have peace. You'll be true to every man. You have nothing to hide. You won't fear issues of life. Be true to yourself. Admit where you're at and admit where you want to go according to the Word of God. But as soon as you get true to yourself, you'll have victory. You'll start having victory. Come to God, confess the situation that's in front of you and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is where we're at as a family. This is where we're at as a church. This is where we're at as a corporation, as a business. God, we need you. We really need you. And we want you to help us. As soon as you get honest with God, He'll start elevating you. Praise God. And keep bringing it to it. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Self-deception is the root attitude that one has that they might illumine or shine. You know, I know people that answer yes to most anything. Oh, yes, yes. You know, a lot of people are kind of get up under the bosses a lot of time, and they'll never challenge a boss. You know, you got to watch a person like that. Sneaky, you know. He's up to one promotion or something, or he's stealing from something's going on. You can't be right about everything. I want somebody to help me think sometimes. Oh, yeah, just go ahead. That'll work. Are you sure? Man, I don't know. I better really pray. You're just too easy to get along with. So self-deception, you literally have to deceive yourself in order to lie. You got to deceive yourself. You've got to deceive yourself. Why would a person lie if everything was okay? You have to deceive yourself. So that the attitude a person has, it's a willful deception. You willingly have to do it. You willingly, and I'm going to bring something out in this particular study. You see, let's go to 1 John, next to Revelations. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I got the address. 1 John chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Gave you some scriptures to write down. If you need a pen, we'll get you a pen to write these things down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John 2. And let's look at verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth, where is it at? It's not in him. You see, to walk in error, or to walk in a lie, you can't have the truth. Where does the truth go? Let me explain something here to you, what happens. If you keep defying your conscience about things to do, places to go, or even lying to people, you can defy your conscience in a lot of things. And so, when a person defies their conscience to lie, the voice of their spirit goes into prison. You literally have to grab that person. Just come here, Ron, for a minute. You're just about a little bit smaller than me, but I want you to be real limp.
Okay.
Okay. Just like I would say, the Holy Spirit's trying to get me to do something. You say, Brother Billy, you need to go to church.
Brother Billy, you need to go to church.
Keep saying it.
Brother Billy, you need to go to church. Brother
Billy, you need to go. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing today. I'm going to the racetrack today. I'm going to the racetrack today. Yes. Yes, I'm going to the ball game today. You see how we do that? You literally have to put the voice of your spirit in prison. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
No problem.
You have to do that. You have to drag it. You have to quiet. You have to tell him, shut up. Shut up. You literally have to put him in prison. You've got to put him in prison. Now, when we noted, we talked about earlier about the whoremonger spirit. We talked about a spirit of slumber, like Samson. Now that spirit, they're similar, very similar. The spirit of slumber, literally you put your conscience to sleep. Remember the little tingling? You can be walking, somebody, a salesman will come up with a set of knives. And you just got a pretty decent set. A couple of them are bad, you know, but you don't use them that often. And this guy, you can tell he's trying to earn a living. He's trying to make his money. He's trying to do this. And he's real polite. He's real kind. And you could tell he wants to go to college. And he's talking about these knives. And all of a sudden, you get a tingling feeling in your head. You're being seduced. Your conscience is being put to sleep through a spirit of slumber. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? There's all kinds of examples we could go into. And all of a sudden you buy these knives that you really didn't want, but well, what harm is it? But you really couldn't afford it. You were saving for something else, something God told you to save for. But due to your personality, you don't want to hurt this guy. He's a nice, kind individual. So the next thing you know, you've been seduced. You had $200 to last to the end of the month. You had four things to get at Walmart. You went in there and all of a sudden you forgot what you're here for. And you just go shopping. You come out and you got $12 left. So there's a difference. Now lying, you literally put your voice of your conscience, you put him in prison. But the spirit of slumber, you lulled to sleep. The spirit of slumber, you're being seduced, you're lulled to sleep. That little tingly feeling, and next thing you know, you could have 100 things on your mind, and you just say, I need to just lay down for a minute. You lay down, and next thing you know, you start, all your wheels in your brain start, and then all of a sudden you drift off to sleep. So in your consciousness, the spirit of slumber puts you to sleep. Like Samson, he told Delilah, which means feeble, he told God's mighty man all his heart. Because she lulled him to sleep on her knees. He calls her to submit. Knees represent submission. So he calls her to sleep on her knees. He lulled her to sleep, put her consciously, and he asked her questions. Or she asked him questions. And so here's what happens when you lie. You literally have to, we'll talk about the defiant spirit, but you really got to start defying your conscience. You know, going out of bounds. You know, and your conscience says, come back, come back, come back, come back. You say, shut up. You start dragging him over here and put him in jail. So the truth is not him. You can't even hear it. And after a while, a person that continues to defy their conscience, they don't have a lot of problems. They don't even have a real twitch anymore about what's wrong. They can lie and not even flinch. You can't even see anything in their countenance. But at first, you can tell, especially if they're small, when they've lied. They're trying to cover it up. They may stutter. They may do this. They may do something else. Or they may try to not look at you and talk. But they're going to try to do something because their conscience is bothering them. See, your conscience is good for you. Your conscience, literally, if you obey your conscience can help you have a wall of defense against the spirit of the world. And what we want to do, the Bible says, awake to righteousness. Awake. You want to wake your conscience. I want to wake you to the things of God. Awaken you to truth and righteousness. So whatever's not of truth is of a lie. See, and many times we've noted in the scriptures, let's go to the scriptures here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Let's go to stay in 2 Timothy for a little bit. Just a couple pages to your left. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy 2. Praise the Lord. 25. Let me start at 23. It says, But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, repentance means you've acknowledged the truth. When you hear truth and you haven't been walking in truth, you need to repent. Renounce what you've done. Praise the Lord. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Chapter 3, this know also that in the last days, I think we're in the last days, church, perilous times shall come, and they're yet coming, I'll say that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, in that passage of Scriptures, we'll take a moment to look at that. There's a list of all kinds of things. People that are traitors, heady, high-minded, truce breakers. When you open your heart to deception, you've got to defy your conscience. When you defy your conscience, next thing you know, you start deceiving folks, and then you start being deceived by folks. What you sow, you reap. We know that. We find in the church, here's a people that Timothy is talking about. These people here are in the church, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They don't speak about the power. They say the Holy Ghost has been done away with. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We believe that God is going to do supernatural things with His people, which are you and I. Sister, you okay?
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's okay. Father, we just thank You for blessings. Sister Charlotte. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to get real, so we'll do what we need to do. Hallelujah. We want to see God work in everybody's church, but the hypocrisy causes people to deny the power thereof. Think about it. These people were lovers of pleasure. They were doing all kinds of things. They were heady. They were high-minded. They wanted to illumine. They wanted to shine. But in the church, they come in here and they all dressed up. Hypocrites. You know, they were holy people. They all put on this facade that we're something great. We're holy. But inside, Jesus said, you're all dead men's bones. You don't have life in you. So what we look at for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is how not to be a hypocrite. Hypocrite or hypocrisy means play acting. Play acting. I want you to be just as real here as you're out there on the street. Amen. Just as real. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I on purpose now, I don't get overdressed. Unless somebody says, I want you to do my wedding or whatever it is. If I go to visit you at the hospital, I'll be dressed just like this. I probably won't have I don't really need my Bible under my arm because I got the word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against the Lord. I don't need to carry a Bible. I don't need to have a collar on to go visit you at the church or at the hospital. I don't need to do all that. I don't need to be seen of men. That's not what I'm interested in. If you got a need, I pray that I got the tools and we can get you healed, we can get you blessed, we can get you on your way. That's what I want to do. Praise the Lord. So hypocrisy manifests itself in many ways. Many ways. You know, people today are going to church. They want to be religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have the power of God working and flowing through me. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Bless His holy name. So we know that there's a lot of hypocrisy going on in the church. We know it. They don't talk about the power. The Bible says the kingdom of God is of power. So you've got to be thinking about the power because the power is going to transform you, which is God's word. It's going to give you your breakthrough. Hallelujah. It's going to take you from where you are to where God wants you to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody need a breakthrough in their physical body for healing? Amen. If you've taken any kind of over-the-counter prescriptions, you need a breakthrough. Huh? You're okay. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Thank God you got that much grace from God. But you still really need a breakthrough. That's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. If you need a breakthrough in your finances, if you're worried about whether you're going to make it. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. You need a breakthrough in your finances. You need a breakthrough spirit, soul, and body. If you're just not satisfied, it looks like the world's having their fun time. And the church is... And you need a breakthrough in your spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. Yes. Get out of religion and get into His presence. Hallelujah. And the religious people will get mad at you because you got joy. And you ain't, and you don't look and dress perhaps just like them. Huh? Well, let them go on and tell them that religion is bondage. It's the law. You can't be satisfied under the law. You need to be under grace. So we know that there are so many false teachings. I mean, that's one of the first things I began to study about the Word of God. God, I don't want to be deceived. There's 50 million churches out there, God, and I'm so unintelligent. God, help me. I don't want to be deceived. So the Lord says, you just take one step at a time and observe as you go. You know, one precious sister, elderly lady, encouraged me years ago when I was young in the ministry. She said, you just eat the meat and kick the bones out. Okay. All right. Let's do it. Hallelujah. And I've learned from different denominations, different charismatic churches, and I've learned and, you know, flow with them. This is good. That was okay. And just take what I could get. God, teach me, equip me for what you've called me to do. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I don't have it all. I want to learn and grow. Keep going. I want you to go too. Hallelujah. Let's get back to your sheet here. Okay. The motions on your sheet are the action, motion, the manifestation. You can now see it in manifestation. Hypocrisy. God don't like a hypocrite. He says, whether that you were, remember in Revelations? Whether that you were hot or cold, but you're trying to be lukewarm, you're trying to be a hypocrite. That's what he's saying. He said, if you're going to do this, just do it. Let's get in here, let's get rid of religion, and let's serve the Lord. Let's just serve the Lord. Let's help somebody. Let's learn about deliverance and healing and blessing and prosperity. Let's learn about it all. Amen. Let's get on fire for God. Amen. Forget it. Let your hair down. Don't worry about your makeup. Don't just be modest in your... Come as you are. Yeah. God says, I'm going to give you a breakthrough. And the church is going to despise you. Because you think you're something. I had a man ask me one time, he was smoking a pipe. I did it many, many years, a young minister, went to a church, I forget what denomination it was. He was a deacon, he was standing there smoking a pipe on the front step. He wanted to know, did I learn some kind of creed? I didn't know what he was talking about. Remember, he said something about a creed. I didn't know what he was talking about. I knew Jesus, but that's all I knew. Preached to them folks and got out of there, you know. About no creed. Man, what? I don't know about no creed. I didn't go to seminary. I got hooked up with Jesus. I don't want hypocrisy. I want hypocrisy. I don't want you to be religious. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's what's robbing the church today, and the devil standing in the corner laughing. They come in and they go out unchanged. No joy, no peace. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus. Okay, let's look at our sheets down here. Principality, power, and might. Four levels of demon authority. Now, I'm going to just note something here. I'm going to give you some extra teaching sheets next week. But reasoning, imagination, emotion, and memory. Start with principality. You can write it right beside it. Reasoning, go to power, imagination, emotion, and memory. On all these sheets, this is how the enemy works. The devil has got to get you to reason with him to accept a lie. Right? Reasoning. Logical reasoning. Self-justification. You know, just lie to him, you know. I had a man lie to me the other day. The more I'm studying stuff, boy, it just hurts when somebody does it. Supposed to meet me at a certain time, never showed up. He just lied to me. God help him. You know, call me back. Tell me you're going to be late. Tell me you can't make it. So principality, when we yield to deception, we defy our conscience and therefore we can lie. We can speak. Power. authority. The next principality that reinforces this deceiving spirit. The spirit of divination. Now, we're going to talk about it in Scripture. But a spirit of divination, it displaces one's consciousness. Remember when I took Brother Ron and put him in jail? You've noted through the Bible, it talks about a spirit of divination. It's an unclean spirit. And what it does, it displaces the human spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. See? It displaces it. It literally has to be, you can't have the truth and a lie. You can't have them both. So here what we find, let's look here in the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts 16. Thank you, Jesus. Now this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the power, they were in great revival. Excuse me, great manifestation of the power of God. Acts 16 and 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to pray, a certain damsel or young lady possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Peter, excuse me, the same followed Paul and us and cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now here's, that's all she's doing. And they discern something ain't right. This woman, something about her spirit is not right. But all she was saying, these be the men of God which show the way of the Most High God. That's all she was doing. And they're like, something is not right. It ain't what she said, but it's the spirit of what she said. Have you ever noticed that about somebody? Oh, praise the Lord! You think, man, it ain't what you said, but it's something about the way you said it. Or when it were, some worship is just divination. I mean, sometimes I think the body of Christ needs to try to get, hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They almost have to get into flesh to try to hit the spirit. They're so religiously bound, they're not going to worship God, and he's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He is. So a lot of times, some of y'all just need to get in the flesh, maybe you'll hit the spirit. That's what I say. But sometimes people will praise and just put on a show. You know, ain't nothing wrong with letting the Holy Ghost have his way and getting excited because God is good and he's doing great things. But there's something about a spirit of divination that would a person sometimes to be seen of men. Pentecostal church have that bad. To be seen of men. I mean, they talk about holy robes hanging from the chandeliers and all that. Well, there's a lot of great anointing and blessing and breakthrough in a lot of these churches. I'll never come against them. But the spirit of divination wants attention. This lady said this down. These men have got be the servants of the Most High God. She had the wrong spirit. She had a spirit of divination. And here we'll find what happened here. Let's read. Find my place. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, the Holy Spirit was grieved in him. He turned and said unto the Spirit, we're not fighting flesh and blood. He turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So this spirit of divination, it's a lying spirit. There's not the truth of Christ. It's a lying divination, a lying spirit. When somebody desires to be admired, such as this young lady, it's divination. It's divination. And we know that she was involved in soothsaying and all that stuff. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings, way over in the white pages. 1 Kings 22. We're going to look at another example here of some prophets that got off track. You see, it's always good, and my desire, I've got two ministries that I converse with, I talk with, and I'll be introducing them to you in the very near future. I believe in accountability. It's easy to get off track if you're not fasting and praying, and it's easy not to see the whole picture of what God wants to do. So you always got to have counsel. Amen. You should always have counsel as ministers, as churches. Churches should be tithing to other churches, helping one another. That's the way it should work. No man lives to himself or dies to himself. If you do, you're trying to get attention. You're just wanting to be seen. Look at me. Look at me. That ain't about me. Okay, let's look here. 1 Kings 22. And we're going to talk about two kings. 1 Kings 22 and verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all with me? Some of them still turn. Let me read. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each one on his throne. Now here, take the picture here. There's two kings sitting on the thrones. King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. Having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Two kings got together, put on royal clothes and come out. And they had the prophets come out and prophesy before them. And Zedekiah, the king of Shemaiah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Zedekiah is acting out a prophecy. Now these two kings, you can read through this whole chapter later. They were discussing whether or not they should go to battle. They hadn't done anything in a while. They said, well, we ought to go over there and take our enemy. Let's get the prophets what they think. Now, if a prophet has a men-pleasing spirit, you know, the kings come out, both kings come out in royal clothes, right? That's what a king do. He'll come out in royalty. How many of you, if you got a special ticket to go see the president, you might want to dress up a little bit. You won't wear your old mud boots or whatever you do around the house and your old ball cap that hadn't been washed in 2 months. You wouldn't do that. You clean up a little bit. The president wants to see you. You're the mayor of this town wants to see you. Do that too. But here, these two kings come out in royalty. And this prophet comes out and he takes a set of horns. And he says, with these shall you push the Syrians. He acted out a prophecy, but he had a men-pleasing spirit. He wanted to illumine. He wanted to shine. He wanted their honor. He did. Now think about John the Baptist. What did John look like? John lived in the desert, right? True prophet. He lived in the desert. He stayed away from the world. And so here's what he did. John, in fact, he probably didn't smell too good. Wasn't no showers or nothing out there, was it? And, you know, what did he do? How'd he eat? He ate what? Locusts and wild honey. He had bee stings probably all on him and honey all matted in his beard. Huh? I'm just saying. And so he goes into town. And he goes up to Herod. He goes right in the palace. He says, you can't have your brother's wife. And man, it got quiet. Who lit that that hillbilly bomb in here? Whatever they wanted to come, right? But with conviction, they were convicted. But we noted the week, but Herod heard John gladly because he spoke about eternity. His spirit craved and hungered truth, even though he wanted the honor of all his peers that were before him. So here we got a prophet, Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, and he got these horns of iron. Hey, you can push the Syrians with these. And verse 12, it says, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the king's hand. Now you've got all these prophets. All of these prophets prophesied a certain thing. You go up and God is with you. Let me continue to read here. And the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the word of the prophets declares good unto the king with one voice. Let the word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That's what you want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. What the Lord gives me, and that's what I'm going to speak. If he says, encourage the people, or if he tells me, he says, you need to come down on them. There's sin in the camp. You've got to get yourself out of the way and obey God. Now he says, whatever the Lord tells me, that's what I'm going to say. So let's read on here. Verse 15, so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hill as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Now here's this king. He knew. He had 400 prophets that prophesied to him all the same thing. King, we're with you. Take these horns and lift these, you'll push the Syrians. And he says, Isn't there another prophet? Yeah, that one old boy over there, but man, he don't never have too much good to say to anybody. Well, get him up here. And he told him, he said, Hey, go on, the battle's yours, you'll win. And he said, Wait a minute. You tell me what's in your heart. His conscience was telling him not to go up there, wasn't it? But being a king, he thought he could take over anything. And so the king said, the prophet told him, he said, Hey, I've seen a vision. People scattered, and there was no leader. And it was your people. Verse 19, and he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth? And one said to this manner, and another to that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. So God was going to persuade this evil king. And the Lord said unto him, Wherefore? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go before and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Shemaiah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go in into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micah and carry him back unto Ammon and govern a governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of afflictions and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. So this prophet said, Hey, if you come back, the Lord ain't spoken nothing by me. But in other words, you ain't coming back. You're not coming back. And you can read the story later on. This king was in his arrogancy. He went on and he disguised himself. And then when the people came at him, they thought they looked for the king and they couldn't find him. And then one man adventured, took a bow by the hand of God, and he released it. And this arrow come out of nowhere and smote that king right in the joints. And blood came out, and they pulled off on the chariot, And he died, and blood run out of the chariot, and they washed the chariot out, and dogs came and looked at the blood. This was the word of the Lord. The king didn't want to hear it. He'd rather have a lying spirit, somebody tell him what he wanted to hear. Well, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear all the time. I can't do that. I know you really don't want me to do that. You want the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know that this king died because it was a prophetic word. The prophet was warned of God. In the book of Amos, it says that surely the Lord God doth nothing in the earth except he revealed his secrets unto his servants the prophet. God's going to reveal what's going on in the world to a man and woman of God that will get on their face before him. He's going to have a people that are going to know what's going on. And he's going to have a people that if they'll have ears to hear, he said, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to lead them and they'll know what's going to come up on the face of the world. Let's continue here on our sheet. Let's get back to our sheet as we prepare to close. Might or the miracle working power. Exhibitionism. We read about the king there, or the prophet Shaniah, son of Shaniah. He said, with these horns you shall push the Syrians. Exhibition means show off. A lot of showing off going on. Showing off. Desire to shine. You know, why would that have anything to do with lying? Well, you go right back to your sheet. Love of self-image. What's a teenager does when he borrows his daddy's car and he takes off and he burns all the rubber off the tire? What's he doing? He's showing off. He's trying to impress the little 16, 17-year-old girl that, you know, he's a big boy. He can do this. Wear out a good set of tires. He's trying to get attention so he can shine. What's a little child? Parents will be talking, and little two or three-year-old boys starts jumping around and bouncing around and doing somersaults. What are they trying to do? You're right. Praise the Lord. Man, we're learning today. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of ways to get attention. But it's called monkey shine. You know, sit down and be quiet, you know, or do that outside or something. But they want attention. And so we know here is because they want to be, a lot of times it's because of acceptance. They'll do many things because they want acceptance. They want your attention. And so we find here exhibitionism, it basically is show off. Why does a person buy or do things? He's trying to show off. Show off. Want to be seen. You see how closely related the love of honor, love of self-image on your sheets, how all these things come into effect. The scripture says in Ephesians 3 and 2, it talks about if we as the body of Christ fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we are by nature the children of wrath. God is not happy. But God wants to give us, and he's given us all things to richly enjoy. It's just how you have it in your heart. Now, I want to note here real quick before we go. This prophet, false prophet, acted out a prophecy. We'll note in Scripture that there are prophets that have done that as well. And there was nothing wrong with it. But it was a condition of the heart. Acts 21. Let's look at this real quick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Acts 21. And let's look at verse 10. It says, and we tarried there many days. There came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. By the way, I want you to understand that the fivefold ministry is still in God's plan. There are still apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God is raising up men and women, prophets as well, to fulfill that ministry. So, are you with me? And we tarried there many days. There came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews and Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when they heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Agabus acted out a prophecy, taking an object. Nothing wrong with that, but it was a condition of the heart. We know that the other one would take these horns and push the Syrians, you know, all in pride, willing to shine, willing to be noted. There were 400 other prophets, none of them took anything, but he had to do something special. On your sheet, you'll see some of the fruit: backbiters, deceitful, divination, false prophecy, exhibitionism, show off, showing off, boasting, performance orientated. Some common sins: money, cheating, slander, gossip, false prophecy. You see, Eve was deceived in the beginning by a false doctrine. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you've studied in depth this sheet of liars. When you hear something that's not truth, or is contrary to the truth, it's false. It's a false doctrine. It's a false teaching. False. There'll be many false prophets. People saying this is the way, and it don't line up with the Word of God. So any false teaching is an error. And it can be a false prophecy or false that you would want to note that you don't want to follow it. You want to, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that when you study the Word of God, you need to know the Word of God. It says to bring captive every thought to the obedience of this very Word. Also have a readiness to revenge all disobedience after your obedience is fulfilled. So what you want to note, there's a lot of false teaching. Power's gone. There's no prophets. There's no apostles. All kinds of false teaching. And so we want to note that as we go forward as a church. God wants to fulfill the call of God on everyone's life. Hallelujah. Many of you need to be teaching, preaching, prophesying, healing, laying hands on the sick. And we're going to activate you. We're going to get you heading that direction because that's the will of God. Hallelujah. God didn't want just one or two people doing all the work. Right? Remember he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." They will do what? Lay hands on the sick. They'll prophesy. They'll raise the dead. Huh? Speak with new tongues. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The believers. Stand to your feet. Gracious God, we thank you today for your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We receive your word today. God, we thank you for the body of believers. And Lord, we delight to do your will. Teach us and equip us, Holy Spirit of God. Awaken our consciousness, Lord, that we might be slow to speak and swift to hear. God, that we'll speak truth to every man, even our neighbor. And Father, we pray for the wisdom of God that you will encourage every heart today to know that Jesus lives and is yet soon to return. Father, we thank you for those that are here for the first time. We ask God that you impart to them a spiritual blessing. And if there's someone here today that has never made Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior, you ask yourself as I speak, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? If your conscience says you're not sure or you've never done it, I would like to pray with you. I want to get you walking in truth that God may richly bless you with life and that more abundantly. Won't you come as we open the altar? If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, if you've never made a public confession, I want to welcome you to do that today. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Just a simple confession that I love Jesus. I receive what he did on the cross. He died for my sins. I receive eternal life. Won't you come as we open the altar? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we thank you. For you have sent out the call. You're knocking on the door of men's and women's hearts. Father, we thank you. We thank you today for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Won't you say it with me? Bless his holy name. And that's the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed in his presence. Is there any announcements? Huh? Mother, any announcements? Huh? Oh, if you need prayer concerning any situation, stay after and I'll pray with you. Glory to God. We'll get a few people to pray with you. Any situation, right now we'll pray. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Those of you who wanted me to dismiss, you made me leave. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. All hearts good? Praise God. God bless you.
The Franklin County Historical Society will meet here at 2 o'clock for a meeting. Anybody who's interested in...
Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to like, comment, and share. We love you all. And God bless. May there be